Well, good morning. Well, today marks week 10 of our quarantine, not in-person service. And you need to look for a video that's coming this week, because what you'll need to see is kind of what we have been doing behind the scenes these past 10 weeks. Our AV team, our song singing group. I mean, we've got so many people who have given everything to make sure that these online services have been helpful and have been high quality and excellent. And man, they have done a fantastic job. But I will tell you, I'm ready to see people in these pews. So I'm excited that next Sunday, May 31st, will be our first Sunday back. Now, you never know what might change, but as of right now, next Sunday, we will be back together. Look for a video this week, and you will hear more details, more about how we are going to meet, those stipulations that are going to come as we all get together for the safety of everyone. But just for me to you, I'm looking forward to seeing your great face and your family as well. But we will still be streaming. We'll be here online for the duration. And so if you do not feel safe coming back, we understand that too. But I will look forward to seeing you a little farther down the road. Let's pray together, and let's have our last sermon in the series of this I Am statements in Scripture. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this morning, for the people that have put their heart and soul into making this an excellent service. Lord, it's been different, and we are so thankful that you have surrounded us with people who are devoted to communicating the gospel, Lord, whether it's in person or whether it's through media. So thank you for the technology that we are able to have. But Lord, we are so looking forward to being back together, and we pray that you would make this doable and that you would keep us safe as we come back together next week. And we also pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, I know that you have a word to say, so we are listening, and we pray that you would speak so that we not only will hear, but will do those things that you want us to do, that we will walk in the way that you want us to walk. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13, and as you're doing that, I'll start with a story. The little girl was wearing a superhero costume. I think it was Wonder Woman. She went up and down the slide. She was flying around as fast as she could in this little tiny fast food restaurant play area. She caught my eye, and I saw her mom walk in, and a little game of tag ensued. It was cute. She finally was cornered by her mom, because those places aren't that big. She was cornered by her mom, and so she hugged her mom. And what I thought was this moment that was fun. There was a little bit of laughter, I thought. The mom leaned down, continued to hug her. But what I thought was a game of tag and a sweet moment was actually something else. This little girl was holding on to her mom to stay, not understanding that it was time to go. Because the little girl, she wasn't ready. Mama hugged her daughter tight, then slowly sat down, and she cradled this little three-year-old superhero in her arms. She began to rock her back and forth, dressed right in the middle of the play area. Now, I couldn't hear through the glass, but I saw Mom briefly whisper something in daughter's ear. Just one thing. Just lean down and whisper. Nothing else. Simply a beautiful few moments as the mom held her daughter, as the mom prepared for both of them for the next part of their day. Mom waited very patiently for her daughter to get up, which she finally did. And then they both walked out the door together, holding her daughter's hand and daughter following mom. You know, this little girl does not understand appointments. She doesn't understand schedules. She only pays attention to what she can see. And because she trusts her mom, she will follow her. We see a similar moment in John chapter 13 and 14, which is where we are. This is our last I am statement that we'll be discussing in this series. And just to set it up, Jesus had just entered Jerusalem. Palm branches were being waved. People were shouting Hosanna. Crowds were pushing forward to catch a glimpse and to even touch the robe of the one that they thought was going to be the Messiah. You know, this was the moment, they thought, that Jesus would make his move, make his presence known to the world. And really, there would be no better time to do it than Passover. But when Jesus finally sat down to dinner with his disciples, the mood shifted from this glorious, hey, all right, you're here, to something much more somber. And I don't think the apostles were really ready for this. This is what he says in chapter 33 of chapter 13, verse 33, he says this, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And then he continues, Simon Peter asked him, he says, "Lord, where are you going?" You know, Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow? I will lay down my life for you," he says. And then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." You know, I wonder if in this moment, Peter's looking at Jesus and saying, "Listen, you lost me here. I mean, really, don't you see that I care for you? You're important to me, Jesus. Why would you leave me here? I mean, where are you going? I mean, I would die for you," he says. "Don't you know that?" And I think the response that Jesus gives to Peter is what I hear him asking me sometimes in those quiet moments. You know, him saying, "Will you really? Will you really lay down your life for me?" Because, you know, in a matter-of-fact tone, Peter is told by Jesus, "You'll disown me, Peter. You'll disown me three times. You'll deny me, not just once, not just twice, but three times." Now, the chapter stops there. But the chapter 14 is in the exact same place, exact same time, same location. So imagine this little space in between chapters as just this a few agonizing seconds of silence as Jesus and Peter look at one another. You know, sometimes there is a lot said in the silence. Silence sometimes is loud. And in those moments, we want to run for the hills. We want to hide away. But you know, whenever you're staring into the face of Jesus, where can you run? So after a few moments of silence, in between 13 and 14, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." You know, there's enough trouble to go around these days, isn't there? There's illnesses, there's death, you know, there's financial instability, difficult consequences for decisions we have made. There's always a consequence for a decision, isn't there? Families drifting apart because of, I don't know, decisions we've chosen to make. Maybe in this quarantine space, we've been close together, but we've really not been listening to one another. Marriages in trouble because they've put off that tough conversation one too many times. I mean, there's enough troubles to go around, and maybe we aren't really sure how the trouble is going to resolve itself, but Jesus tells Peter here, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. And this word for believe is a form of the Greek word pistuo, which is, it means to believe, it means to trust, it means to have confidence in, to have confidence in God here. Trust God. Jesus is saying, trust God. He's saying, trust me, have confidence in me. And why? Well, we keep going. He says this, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. I mean, Jesus is painting this picture of the future, that there is more, and the more is good, and it involves Jesus himself. And then Jesus says this, he says, and you know the place to where I am going. And they're not really quite sure what he's saying. So Thomas speaks up, and he probably voices the things that they're all wondering. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Thomas is interesting because Thomas is one of those people who says exactly what he thinks. You don't have to wonder where you stand with Thomas. You know, he and the rest of these men, they've been following Jesus for quite some time. And so give them credit here. They recognized Jesus from the very beginning, and they left everything they had to follow him. But right now, they're kind of confused. You know, they see Jesus as this human Messiah who will free people, who will, you know, finally point these people into God's direction. You know, someone who will say, hey, go that way. God's over there. That's how they see Jesus. He's going to point them to God. You know, Jesus is saying, yeah, he's over there. Take two lefts, past the second star, then on till morning, right? He's pointing people to where God is. But the truth is, Jesus has way more planned than just pointing people to God. So Jesus responds to Thomas in a very authentic and genuine way, equally as forthright of an answer as was the question when he says this. Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is what's interesting. Jesus hits three core tenets of Jewish theology here. Okay, so in this one sentence, he hits the three areas. He hits derech, emet, and chayim. And so what this is, derech is the way, emet is the truth, and chayim is the life. Now, this is a very difficult text for some people. Some people hear this verse, and they reject Christianity as too exclusive. You know, I've wrestled with this in my life. I've wrestled through this. You know, Jesus, really? The only way? There's a hard truth here, and the hard truth is that the way to God is not easy. Just look at the Old Testament. Look at how difficult it was for these people just to simply obey and to do right. You know, look how difficult it still is. Jesus, the only way? You know, the way to God is not easy. It never really has been. I mean, how do you find your way to God? How do you find your way to something that is invisible, oftentimes silent, perfect, demanding? Now, up to this point in Jesus' story, the way to God has been Torah. It's been God's law. It's a demanding path of obedience, regulation, righteousness, but it's a book of God's love. He's showing them a way, but it's not really easy. Deuteronomy 5, 32 to 33, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. And again, in Isaiah 30, he says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. No, where God has, up to this point, pointed people to his prophets and to his word as waymarkers, now he has provided Jesus as the ultimate way finder. Jesus is the path. He is the way. He's not just pointing people. Jesus is the way. He is the path. He's not standing giving people directions. He's showing them the way. This is huge here. You don't know where to go? He's not just going to tell you. He's going to show you the way. He's saying, my way is the way to God. My way of living, my way of sacrifice, my way of love, my way of humility. I and only I can show you the way to God. So follow me. There is no other way. There is no other Messiah. Jesus is our way. I mean, we cannot find our way to God by working to get there. So when we get to the end of our life and we ask ourselves, have we done enough? You know what the answer is and always will be? No. We can never, ever do enough to find our way to God. Because the answer to that question, even though it's no, the answer should be that eternal life is a gift, and it was given to us because we cannot do this on our own, or we would boast about how we could do it on our own. It's not about reaching perfection on our own. It's not about even being good enough or smart enough or moral enough. It is Jesus. He is the way. And then he also says he is the truth. Emet. And to the Jewish people, you know what truth was? It was Torah. Torah was truth. Follow the way of Torah and you'll follow the way of truth and you'll find God. This is the way. But Jesus, he says, I am the way. And if you remember, Jesus is also the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was with God since the beginning. Jesus is God's truth in flesh. Jesus is God's Word with skin on. Jesus' way is the way of the Torah. His whole life was a living embodiment of Torah, of everything they had studied for thousands of years. Jesus was the ultimate embodiment of this. He was the embodiment of Torah, of law, of God's wisdom, which means that Jesus is the ultimate truth. This is why those leaders had such problems with him, because they didn't see truth that way. They saw truth as a list of rules and regulations, and Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was filled with grace and love, mercy, which is what the law was supposed to do, show people that God loves and will forgive. You know, in the past, I've heard people, and I might have even been one of those people, who have said, do as I say, not as I do. Now, honestly, we know how to teach, right? We know how to point people in the right direction, but it takes boldness for someone to say, you can listen to what I say, but do as I do. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, right? He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, Jesus is not merely teaching us truth. He's not merely telling us truthful things. Jesus is saying, I am the truth. And truth is not something that is personal to each and every one of us. There is no my truth or your truth or our truth. We can't each walk in our own truths. We can all have a viewpoint or an opinion. But to walk in truth is to walk in the way of Jesus. I mean, culture, it teaches us to challenge everything. Remember the moment whenever Pilate was face to face with Jesus? Jesus says, I'm here to testify to the truth. And what does Pilate say? What is truth? They were asking the same questions back then that we are continuing to ask even today. You can't blame us, right? We've been fooled a time or two. We all, you know, have been trained to look at people as if they have a hidden agenda or a motive or a catch. But if Jesus is truth, listen to this, if Jesus is truth, then we can believe him. If Jesus is truth, that means that there's no falsity, there's no deceit. There's no hidden agenda, no catch. If Jesus is truth, then he can be trusted. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. And this trust that he's asking us to have this path, you know, leads us to truth, which leads us to life, chayim, life in the ultimate sense of the world, of the word. And don't let this idea of chayim, of life, don't confuse it with success. Don't confuse it with, you know, satisfaction, as if I'm getting everything that I want, or even happiness, because those concepts pale in comparison to the real and genuine chayim, this absolute fullness of life that Jesus is referring to. The Greek is zoe, and the Hebrew is chayim, the source of life. Jesus is the way to God. His truth, which means that Jesus is the source of life, which is God himself. This is a bold statement then, and it's a bold statement now. And this right here, this is a stumbling block for so many people. I mean, listen to this. Jesus is saying to us that he alone is the way to God, which means that God has chosen to redeem, to forgive, to reach and save the world through Jesus. So think for a moment about what God has done here. He's chosen to save the world, to forgive the world, and he's chosen to do it through Jesus, which means this, and this is a bold statement too, that our one way to God is God's one way to us. Our one way to God in Jesus is God's one way to us through Jesus. God's gone all in here. He's laid his hands on the table. His whole cards are shown. He has one final sacrifice to redeem mankind once and for all, to forgive you of sins past, present, future, even current that you're involved with right now. He has chosen to forgive you of all of it. And it's all through Jesus. God himself, his word, his truth, his spirit, his identity, his wisdom, all of it is in his son, Jesus. And then he says this, oh, this is great, I love it. He says, if you know me, then you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Good job, Philip. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So to see God is to see Jesus himself. To see Jesus is to see God himself. The great I am in the flesh. God's one way to us is our one way to God. And he's offering you the chance for the absolute fullness of life through Jesus. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your troubles keep you from believing or keep you from seeing Jesus for who he really is. Because, you know, that little girl in the playground, she has no idea the day her mom has planned. All she knows is what she can see. She wants to stay. She wants to pretend. She wants to slide some more. But she trusts her mama. And her mama loves her. So let's not be so focused on our desires, what we want, what we think is right, that we grow so accustomed to living in a small, imperfect, see-through world, because there's a whole other world out there, y'all. Jesus is wanting to lead us and to take us there, because there is more to do, there is more to see, there's more people to bless, and there is more lives to save. So will you trust him? Will you follow him? Or will you continue just to struggle and to sit down because of all of your troubles? Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust God. Believe. Believe that Jesus has overcome, and trust that he's waiting for you. And he's with you right now, and he's waiting for you to get up and to follow him. He knows the way. And if you're looking at him, you do too. So why not trust him? Because he is true. So get up. Grab his hand and let him lead you to life. It's your choice. Let's pray, and our team's going to come up and sing and give you a few moments to respond. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for giving us ears to hear. I pray that you would help us to hear the words that you have given us. Help us to not just go about our day as if nothing has happened. Help us, Lord, to be people who respond and whose lives are changed. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. Let's sing.